President Trump has ratcheted up the rhetoric against North Korea. He didn't mince his words in warning Pyongyang to stop threatening the US with further missile tests.
North Korea best not make any more threats to the United States. They will be met with fire and fury like the world has never seen. He has been very threatening beyond a normal statement. And as I said, they will be met with fire, fury, and frankly, power, the likes of which this world has never seen before.
North Korea has said it will come up with plans to fire 4 ballistic missiles towards the U.S. territory of Guam, a small island in the Pacific and home to an American military base.
우리가 발사하는 중장거리 전략 탄도 로켓 화성 12형은 일본의 시마네현, 히로시마현,
The unusually detailed statement by the North Korean army was read out on state-controlled television. The presenter said the rockets would hit the waters only 40 kilometers from Guam. The heightened tensions between the two countries have raised fears that military conflict on the Korean peninsula is now a very real danger. John Everard was the British ambassador to North Korea between 2006 and 2008. He says there's every reason to be alarmed.
It's not just an escalation of rhetoric, but it does show the North Koreans really very, very anxious and with their fingers still hovering over the trigger. It's important to note who in North Korea is talking. The statements yesterday and the ones this morning are from the North Korean army itself, and they've made clear that they think that the U.S. is indeed preparing a preemptive strike. They've talked about preempting the U.S. preemption, which is about as light a finger on the trigger as you're going to get.
Intelligence reports suggest North Korea's nuclear program is now at an advanced stage. Our defense and diplomatic correspondent is Jonathan Marcus, and I asked him first whether there's still a realistic prospect of persuading North Korea to halt or even reverse its nuclear program.
I think that's a very, very tall order indeed. It's clear that over the past couple of decades, when there have been efforts to try to tackle the North Korean problem, the underlying principle, at least in the United States and among its allies, has been to halt the nuclear program in North Korea and then in some way to roll it back. Similarly, also its missile programs. The crucial difference now is that North Korea's attainment of an effective and credible nuclear weapon with which it can hold the United States at risk is no longer a virtual idea. We don't know precisely how close they are, but they are very close to having this. And so I think that does take us into a very new realm.
So how does the world deal with, live with a nuclear-capable Pyongyang?
Well, I think the problem may be that the world has to live with a nuclear-capable North Korea, whether it likes it or not. America has lived with the most appalling nuclear threats in the past from the Soviet Union at the height of the Cold War. There was a very real fear of nuclear Armageddon. But the Americans and the Soviet Union kind of spoke the same nuclear language. They understood each other. They knew what each side's signals meant. There were crises, obviously, from time to time, the Cuban Missile Crisis and so on and so forth. But essentially, they spoke the same language. The difficulty, I think, is that in North Korea, you have essentially a developing country, highly isolated, impoverished, very, very volatile, as I've said already. And for that country and the United States to have the same understanding of what signals mean, what steps mean, what particular bits of rhetoric mean, is much harder to envisage. The real question, I suppose, and that is assuming that we can avoid the crunch, if you like, of an actual armed conflict, and I do tend to think that is likely, because any war ultimately would lead to the destruction of the North Korean regime, and I think it is to that extent a rational regime and doesn't want to see its own demise. But North Korea clearly believes that nuclear weapons are essential for the survival of its regime. And given that fact, it isn't very likely to give them up easily. Now, living with North Korea could mean simply trying to find ways of containing the regime. And that isn't just a question of containing its own activities, but also containing its ability to proliferate and spread that nuclear technology. And that's a concern as well. Or, of course, it could be a more positive thing in the sense of trying to find ways of engaging with North Korea, presumably through China, to try and normalize the situation on the Korean Peninsula. So there is a lot of things that could be done. But of course, essentially, if you believe what the North Koreans say, they want to be sure that what they perceive as American threats to them are removed. Clearly, one way of doing that would be diplomatic, but we're a very, very long way from that now. And one can hardly imagine the Trump administration pursuing that particular course.
You mentioned the role of China, and that's got quite a balancing act to do at the moment. It was in favour of the very tough new UN sanctions. But as you say, it does not want to see North Korea collapse.
No, it certainly doesn't. China's position, I think, in the most fair way to describe it, is ambivalent. It doesn't much like the North Korean regime, and it doesn't much like the instability afforded by the North's quest for nuclear weapons and long-range missiles. On the other hand, it doesn't want to see a pro-Western United Korea on its borders, potentially perhaps even with American troops there. And it certainly doesn't want to see the collapse of the North Korean regime, the flooding of its own country with millions, perhaps, of poverty-stricken North Korean refugees and so on. So on one side, it's fair to say China has a North Korea problem. On the other hand, though, is it squarely in the same camp as the United States? And the answer to that, I think, is no.
That was our defence and diplomatic correspondent, Jonathan Marcus.